Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And back on Total Information AM, a lot of discussion as we get into the election year and really coming off the last election about the Electoral College. Of course, many people talk regularly about the fact that Hillary Clinton, in fact, had more votes than Donald Trump did in the 2016 election. And yet the Electoral College, of course, went the other way. But others argue that is by design. And one of the people who believes that is by design is our guest, Trent Englund, joining us now here on KMOX. He is the executive vice president at the Oklahoma Council for Public Affairs. Trent, good morning and welcome to KMOX.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, and I guess the crux of it is this. So many people in this country think a vote is simple. Everybody casts their ballot. They count the ballots. Whoever has the most votes wins. It doesn't work that way with the Electoral College necessarily, and a lot of people want that to change. In fact, there's talk about a bill being filed here in Missouri that would change that or try to change that. Why do you think it shouldn't be that way?
Well, what people often don't understand is it makes a big difference how many people are participating in an election, in a democratic process. And so that's why when it gets to a certain size, like the whole country, we break this down. And we have it's still a democratic process, but it's a two-step democratic process. And that's very appropriate because it really sets a higher bar than just a direct election. It requires a certain amount of geographic balance. It means that one region of the country or a handful of big cities don't have all the power over everybody else. You know, they talk about flyover country, right? And, you know, Missouri, where you are, Oklahoma, where I am, we're right kind of at the center of flyover country, except that the Electoral College makes it impossible for a candidate for president to win with just support from New York and California, maybe Florida and Chicago, right? You have to build something like a nationwide coalition, which is a really good thing. And that's why actually most of the other successful countries that we think of as democracies, places like Canada, Great Britain, Germany, India, people talk about being the largest democracy in the world, they all have systems like this. Most of them are parliamentary, but India actually has a kind of electoral college. They all provide some geographic balance when they elect somebody who is, you know, running the executive branch in the whole country, because those kind of checks and balances just turn out to be really important.
But you have to look at also, I would think, the fact that this was a system designed in the late 18th century by a group of people that were looking at states as though they were small countries unto themselves. Certainly they couldn't have fathomed the size and scope which the United States would become. So we're much bigger, but in many ways we're much smaller thanks to travel, communication, all these things that have changed incredibly over a couple of centuries. A lot of people would say, hey, we're all Americans here. And the regionalism thing, when it was relevant when New York and Florida were as dissimilar as Austria and Zimbabwe, but now it's not like that.
Well, you know, it's an interesting argument. I do hear that sometimes, but I think people forget one of the reasons why we have become so unified as a country is that we have systems like the Electoral College and the whole structure of Congress that really do nationalize our politics. And, you know, we can't just discount the fact that we've operated for over 200 years with the Electoral College creating incentives that force our political parties to be national, that force us to build these big coalitions.
Now, I'm clearly playing devil's advocate through this whole thing because you've got the one position that is well researched, obviously. But I guess the last thing I would ask is, couldn't you argue that the Electoral College in some ways, especially with the all or nothing distribution of the electoral votes, makes Missouri out of bounds and Oklahoma maybe to a degree as well in this election? I would look at the way things set up. Missouri has become a pretty solid red state in presidential politics. And a lot of people here pretty much say the candidates aren't going to waste their time on Missouri because Missouri's already decided for one party. At least if it was a popular vote, they might come here scraping for votes in a close election.
Yeah, so that's probably the best argument that people make, I think, for a direct election system is, you know, maybe the candidates would go to different places. The challenge is campaigns only have so many resources, right? They only have so much time, they only have so much money. So they're still going to decide to go to certain places, not go to other places. Obviously, if we change the rules, then where they go would change. But I don't think we should miss the fact that what makes the Republican Party a legitimate party, right? And what makes the Democratic Party a legitimate party, right? What gives them this claim to have all of these people, you know, on the Democrat side right now, all these people are competing to be the Democratic Party's nominee. That's because the Democratic Party has built up this structure over time and this support over time where, you know, they have states like California and Washington State where I grew up and, you know, in Illinois, they have places where they're really popular already. And the candidates, it's not that the candidates don't care about those states. In fact, the reason why, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden want the Democrat nomination is because they want the support of the people in those states. And on the Republican side, you know, Donald Trump's going to be the Republican nominee. What that means is he's going to start with the support of all of these people in Oklahoma and Missouri who are, you know, bought into the Republican message, the Republican, you know, infrastructure, the party. And so those states matter just in a little bit of a different way, right? They don't matter in terms of getting bombarded with TV commercials at the end and having as many rallies and things like that, but they actually are, you know, they're the reason why these political parties matter in the first place. So, you know, I think it kind of balances out. And, you know, the other reality is, I mean, here in Oklahoma, we are probably the most red state in the country right now. But you go back a few election cycles and, you know, this state was controlled by Democrats at the state level. And, you know, you go back far enough and it was voting for Democrats at the federal level. So, you know, these things move around a lot, too.
Well, Trent, it's a fun conversation to have. Of course, realistically, it's probably not going to change anytime soon because of all the hoops that go with a constitutional change. But we thank you for joining us here on KMOX this morning.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.